In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review August, Osage County, and Out of the Furnace. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, Trash Me.
And yours, GSJ.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, on Shwing, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you.
Did you say Shwing or Streaming?
What?
Online screening. I think you said
online,
Shwing.
Did I?
Online Shwing.
I think you said online Shwing.
I hate when I do that.
I think you said something that you shouldn't have.
Come on, this is our third Movie Rollers episode in a row. The old vocal apparatus here is getting a little tired, perhaps slurry. And this is actually the third of our kind of catch-up 2013 episodes. It's our first time recording in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple of slightly smaller movies here. These are both that we got screeners for rather than saw on a big screen. And I'm not quite sure when their release dates are. Are they out? Are they getting wide releases?
In January, yes.
Okay.
I think Out of the Furnace is out already.
Mm-hmm. I do think they're both going to be smaller releases, though. I can't see these being the local multiplex type thing.
August, Osage County is gathering some award momentum at the moment. So I think we might see it get bigger, a bigger release as time goes on through the month.
Cool. Well, let's just jump straight into the reviews. Which one would you like to do first?
Out of the Furnace.
Okay.
So, Scott Cooper, who blew into prominence in 2009 with his directorial debut Crazy Heart, which won an Oscar for his lead actor Jeff Bridges in the movie, returns with his second directorial effort with Out of the Furnace. Out of the Furnace is a story which is set in the Appalachia amongst the working blue-collar individuals within that area, and specifically on two brothers, an elder one who's trying to make do with very little, and a younger one who's just come back from several deployments by the army in Afghanistan. And essentially, the older brother is trying to take care of his little one, of his little brother. And through a series of circumstances, the younger brother gets involved with certain backcountry individuals who are involved in various sorts of illegal activities. And the rest of the movie pursues the attempt from the older brother to try and save his sibling from the kinds of things he's involved with. The movie stars Christian Bale as the older brother, Casey Affleck as the younger one, Woody Harrelson, as well as Zoe Saldana. And it's one of those smaller, darker films, one of the more dark films that I have seen, certainly, and I'm eager to discuss it with you guys. I'm particularly curious to hear what you thought about it, Joe.
I mean, clearly this movie is not for everyone, but boy, did this affect me. Oh my God, this movie, I can't stop thinking about it. The final scene, I think, left me with a bit of a choked up tear in my eye. Just, this movie was really excellent. I acknowledge that not everyone's going to like this, but when you execute a movie this well, I think it worked. I loved it.
Oh dear, it's going to be one of those shows. This is a gritty, grungy, dirty movie and a great example of amazing acting and a terrible, pointless story. I just didn't understand the point of this movie at all, and I kept waiting for something to happen, and I couldn't believe when the end came, although I was happy.
Niasti, adjudicate.
I think this is a very well-made film. I think this is a very gifted director, but it's a film I do not care for much, and I truly respect its discipline, its hardworking craft, but I cannot abide by what it represents. And what it represents is this very unhealthy fascination for violence. And it really upset me how the movie was at every point driven by really nihilistic, mean violence. That's what was driving the story the whole time. And there's lots I can say about the movie. And I love where it's set in. I love those characters. I love how hardscrabble they are. I love how, you know, the movie has a commentary on so many things about the poor, about, you know, people who are going off to Iraq and coming back and not being able to adjust, about taking care of your older parents. You know, it has so much to say about so many things. and parts which really move me. And I wish it had just been a character study about those two people. But instead, in its final act, it kind of tries to find, you know, poetry and revenge. And I really have a hard time with kind of glamorizing this noble pursuit of revenge. It just is so fascinated with this violence, and that really unsettled me.
Now, you said you were interested in my reaction. What did you think it was going to be?
No, I thought you would like it a lot.
I did. I mean, I think it had this real darkness to it. I think the world in which it portrayed these characters living, it was just very well done. I think more than anything, I think I liked the characters and the fact that Christian Bale's character, who's at his core a decent guy who had made some mistakes, how he just couldn't catch a break, you know, that life just didn't seem to ever give him, you know, there was that sense of injustice about what kept happening to him. And I do like stories about that, you know. The classic example is Les Mis, you know, and the story of, you know, Jean Valjean. But here, he's that same kind of guy, right? I mean, he's trying to make up for a mistake that he made in his younger days. He's trying to live an honest life, and he's trying to help his brother through what is a very difficult time after returning from war. His brother obviously has his own issues here. You know, he's very easy prey for the Woody Harrelson character. Everything about it worked really well. And I think, you know, in the moment, I kind of was more fascinated by the movie than really enjoying it. But the way it wrapped up in the end yesterday, where you talk about this poetic revenge, it was brilliant. It was not what I was expecting to happen.
How was it not what you were... exactly what you were expecting to happen.
No, because I kept thinking that at the heart of the character, there was going to be that last little thing. It was almost expected in the unexpected way, right? So when your character's behavior, I felt that was going to be the redemption moment. And maybe this is getting a little bit into spoilers. But the decision that he made at the very end was very much a reflection of the fact that he couldn't catch a break, right? It was the right thing to do, but couldn't catch a break. Just couldn't get, like, life's not going to give him that pass that he needs.
I just didn't understand the story. Honestly, you both sat, like, I think I watched a different movie because I just didn't understand what was going on. And it was so strange to watch. And the other thing that really confused me is I couldn't figure out when it was set. And I think it was set in like the year 2000.
It was irrelevant.
But it wasn't. It was really strange. I just couldn't figure out where we were, what time it was, what was happening.
It didn't really matter. I mean, this is a story that could have been told from, you know, the 60s right until last week. I mean,
I think it was set in contemporary times.
Okay. Yeah, the cards, I think, were kind of giveaways.
And then it kind of felt like Fight Club, but without any of the joy and frivolity.
No,
it was just dirty, grungy, disgusting, you know, lots of fighting, violence, dirty, you know, dusty,
you know what it was like?
Cobwebs.
It was like Ain't Them Body Saints without the love story.
No, see, I loved Ain't Them Body Saints. That's why you brought it up.
I think it is very much going for that Americana feeling. It's completely within that milieu. But I'm with you. I mean, my point is, what is this film saying? And what is its point? That sometimes there are monstrous people and that the only way to deal with them is by retaliatory bloodletting? Is that what it's saying? I mean,
no,
why is that resolution to the movie the right thing to do?
I don't think it's about that. I think it's almost like a sandbox, right? You set up these characters and you put them in this world and you see what happens. Because these characters are all very true to who they were. And the world in which they lived in gave them certain temptations. You look at the Casey Affleck character, right? You know,
he's getting a little bit typecast, by the way.
He is, but his character, he's you know, he's gone away, he's come back, he's trying to get a start in life, and he's trying to get ahead, and he's trying to make up for lost time because he's been away at war and you know. So you put him in an environment where there's you know, quick money to be made, and it's very appealing to him. Right, and then he has to interact with this despicable Woody Harrelson character, who, talk about typecast. I mean,
yeah.
Woody Harrelson is either a hick or he's Hamish. you know, in Hunger Games. Yeah. And there's nothing else that he seems to play here. But
great performance, though.
You know, I had to turn my face away every time he was on the screen. And that's saying a lot, considering how miserable he's been in movie after movie, playing the bad guy. This is a bad guy, which is going to beat the life out of all the other bad guys.
And he's scary, and he's mean, and he's not likable. And turning away is exactly the emotion that I had, which is why I felt the movie was so effective. I was like, boy, I don't want to be in this world with these people, but this movie is just so gritty.
See, but I think there's a great movie to be made about, you know, a sibling trying to help out, you know, his more hot-headed sibling, you know, I think everybody deals with, you know, your brother or sister who is more hot-headed than you are, and you are inherently protective of it, and you try to, you know, there's so much to be said. There is a great scene in the movie about him taking care of his elderly father. There are many scenes about it. That's lovely. There's a great commentary on how this country treats its soldiers in such a terrible way, using them as, you know, units to send off at war. And when they come back, you know, they're not able to adjust. They can't find employment. They have to kind of fend for themselves, and how poorly, you know, the country treats it. And you know, the movie has nobility about, you know, the blue collar working class. You know, I mean, the people in these, in this movie might as well be brown collared. I mean, they're so dirty and grimy. And the movie kind of makes the point that these people are as much heroes as soldiers are.
Yeah.
So there's so much wonderful stuff to be said about this thing.
And it was all said.
And then it becomes revenge tale, goes after bad guy. I mean, it's so disappointing.
I mean, I understand what you're saying about the revenge tale, but that was the story, right? I mean, everything else was kind of texture to build the world, whereas the core plot at its heart was, it's where they chose to go, and it's how they chose to end the story. And again, I go back to the Christian Bale character and, you know, the cards that he's dealt with in life and the decisions that he makes. He's, you know, his own sense of right and wrong. And to me, that's what the movie really left me with, you know, and that's why I felt very affected, deeply affected, actually, at the end.
I mean, I can see why you like it, because you do like these sort of stories. But I think, for me, all I could really fathom from it was, you know, Christian Bale is a chameleon. He's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, remember, this is why I'm not so high on American Hustle. He's, you know, Christian Bale plays an exceptional character in that movie, but he felt like he was wearing that character's clothes.
Yes.
You know, or rather the clothes were wearing him instead of him wearing the clothes. Here, he's completely this character. I mean, he perfectly becomes this character. Yeah. He's so much better here than he was in American
Hustle.
He's
an extraordinary actor.
Okay. And, you know, I think this director, you know, is clearly fascinated with protagonists who are kind of victims of their own addictions and victims of their own, you know, who are trying to claw out of, you know, the hole they've created, you know, of themselves. But, you know, Crazy Heart, for example, found a sense of redemption in its final notes, and it didn't kind of become an obvious, the end was less obvious than this one. And so, it's only because I liked so much of the first part of the movie that I was disappointed with the last act. But anyway.
Okay, let's wind this one up, because I don't understand the point of this podcast anymore.
Can I say one other thing? I want to say one other thing. There is a wonderful scene about halfway through the movie where Christian Bale reaches out to the Zoe Saldana character in a park, trying to win back
back
her love. Oh, and that it's spare and it's beautifully written and sublimely acted. I mean, that movie that scene really broke my heart, especially I felt so much for the Christian Bale character. And, you know, this kind of stuff is so difficult to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the real world, she would never, ever make the choice she made.
Correct.
Okay. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I mean, it's only because I think this movie could have been an absolute knockout masterpiece that I'm disappointed with where it eventually goes. And I'm really uncomfortable with its unhealthy fascination with violence. I mean, the movie starts and ends with scenes of violence which play out as horror, and I cannot abide by that. So for that alone, I have to give it 6 out of 10. It could have been a 9 out of 10.
Wow. Joe?
it could have been a 9 out of 10 for me as well. It just falls slightly shy of the mark. Why, I'm not sure, because I think the movie was very effective for me overall. Clearly, this movie is not for everyone. It's not to everyone's taste. I don't know to whom I would recommend it. You know, I don't think the standard moviegoer Friday night, you know, popcorn experience is what you will get by going to see this movie. But nonetheless, if you're looking to see something just a little different, a little darker, a little edgier, then this might be for you. I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. I've stewed here, and I've written both 9 and 10 in my notes.
Wow.
But I'm going to go with 8.
Oh.
Too different, too dark, too edgy. I just didn't understand. I'm really confused. I haven't been this confused for a long, long time. I'm really confused.
Really? And you got In Them Body Saints? I'm confused about In Them Body Saints. Somebody please explain what that movie was about.
We'll have coffee.
Oh, yes, we'll have
just for our listeners, Ain't Them Body Saints is a movie we saw at LA Film Festival. It did get a release, I think, in September, October. Yeah. With a director with a big moustache, I forget who he
David Lowry.
Thank you. And what else did he direct? Because he had a couple of other big movies.
I thought we did a review on it.
Did we do?
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay, so just but it was a smaller Americana type movie. It had Rooney Mara, Casey Affleck, and it's a movie that kind of polarized us too.
The other way.
But the other way around, right?
Yeah.
Yazdi's showing us a picture of the moustache. That's quite a magnificent moustache.
It was. I think I commented on it when we reviewed. All right.
I didn't give my score or what my was your summary. Score? Not that you even care anymore. What's the point?
You just sounded so sad. Like, I'm confused.
I don't understand. Confused. So I was going to say, great acting, bad story, 5 out of 10.
That's just like a random number you
it
picked
is,
there.
It is.
You just don't know.
I don't know.
Watch it again with me.
Okay.
I'll try and explain it as we go along.
Gosh.
All right, movie number 2 then.
Oh, there's another one.
August, Osage County.
So the playwright Tracy Letts, who penned Killer Joe from last year, won the Pulitzer Prize for his stage writing of the play August, Osage County a few years ago. Well, here is the movie adaptation of that play, and it's directed by John Wells. And the film is set around an Oklahoma family, the Westons, who gather together after disaster strikes one of its members. Ruthlessly ruled by the pill-popping, bile-slowing matriarch of the family, the other women in the family during this event decide to launch back and speak their minds. And secrets are revealed and bad things get said. And it's one of those movies where families speak their mind. The movie boasts an all-star cast, which includes Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, Ewan McGregor, Chris Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Margot Martindale, Sam Shepard, Julianne Nicholson, Juliette Lewis, Abigail Breslin, and Dermot Mulroney.
It might be easier to say who's not in this movie, as they.
Yes. Miley Cyrus is not in this movie.
George Clooney is not in this movie.
The Weinstein brothers are distributing this movie, and they're beating the drums, trying to get as much Oscar mileage out of the acting in this movie as possible. The movie won a boatload of awards last weekend at the Capri International Film Festival.
That's the one we need to go to.
But I think it opens later in January here in San Diego. What do you guys think of it?
Okay, so the film starts with a quote, "Life is long" by T.S. Eliot, and so is this movie, and not in a good way. This is 2 hours and 10 minutes of overacting, melodrama, and every story ever acted in a standard soap opera mangled together, backed by some really hefty acting muscle. Most of us run a mile from spending time with our own dysfunctional families, so to see an even more dysfunctional family play out on a screen is nothing more than uncomfortable and irritating, and certainly not entertaining.
Maybe that's the impact it desired.
Maybe.
So, gosh, where do I start with this one? Every now and then, Rotten Tomatoes, they have these like little summaries of the reviews. And for this movie, they say, the sheer amount of acting going on in August, Osage County threatens to overwhelm. And I couldn't have put it better myself. I mean, boy, oh boy, was there a lot of great performances kind of, you know, shoehorned into this, you know, tiny little movie. I could never escape the sense that this was anything other than a stage play. And I think as such, it was a little too compressed. they were trying to put too many issues, like you say, Rashmi, every soap opera issue, but also some, I mean, it was well written, but, you know, this needs to be, you know, told over a 10 season, you know, 10
miniseries.
10 episode, yeah. You know, season of mini series. It's just, it all felt too forced to happen in the time frame that it kind of happened. So, a little disappointing in that regard. I mean, I enjoyed the experience of watching these actors do their thing, but the movie itself didn't work for me.
Yeah, I think the New York Times said this movie doesn't just have a lot of good acting, it's a cage match. And that's what it is, you know. It's like throwing all these...
That's right. You know,
it's a really good
it's a cage
metaphor,
match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is... I think this is a bitter, bitter coffee of a movie. Remember that scene in Rachel Getting Married where Anne Hathaway gets out of control during the wedding rehearsal?
Yes.
And just starts hurling insults at her family members, shooting out words that cannot be unsaid. And, you know, you as the audience member were kind of holding on white knuckled,
yes,
to the edge of your, you know, seat rests, you know, because you're genuinely scared of what else she's going to say, you know, which is going to really devastate her family members. Well, if you took that scene and extended it to 2 hours, you would get August,
yeah,
Osage,
right,
County.
Right.
And I do not say that necessarily by way of criticism. In fact, I do have a lot of respect for this movie because I think it's very difficult these days for cinema to get under your skin and really bother you and affect you. And I think it takes some degree of skill to kind of put you in that very uncomfortable space. And I think all families are insane. But, you know, of all the families, of all the films that are about insane families, this seems to exist at, you know, some other altogether higher plane. And, you know, it's a place of such biting, relentless bitterness that I can see how this film kind of may exhaust some viewers. And I think the majority of the critical response has been that this movie is unwatchable by its unpleasantness. And I think they're true, but I actually, you know, in the first half of the movie, I was fascinated by these characters. And then in the second half of the movie, I kind of felt sorry for them. I was very sympathetic for how they were caught in their bad situations. And I kind of almost identified, you know, I was in a way glad that my own family, as dysfunctional as it is not as bad as this one. This is a movie you go to and feel grateful for your own family.
Right.
So I liked it.
So I think the problem is, you know, we've all said it, there's too much going on. Had there been even a little bit more refrain and pullback, I think this could have been an incredible movie. The problem I have is I think every scene is going for an Oscar moment. Every single scene, every single interaction. And I think you said it, Joe, because they got Tracy Letts to write the screenplay from her own stage play, the adaptation has got lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it's oftentimes they say, you know, the cutting room floor is, you know, where some of the best movies are made. Well, yeah, they needed to take a big pair of scissors to a lot of the material that they had shot here and just dilute it a little bit,
yeah,
so that we've got something more palatable, more believable, and to almost allow us to go through, allow us time to kind of
digest,
assess the impact of all the emotional stuff that's happening, because you don't get the chance, you don't get a breath.
Yeah. I think
you know, Tracy Letts, he writes very, you know, he writes with almost surgical precision. I mean, all of his stuff is very, you know, particular. And I think the dialogue is excellent in this movie. I think what the movie lacked is restraint on the part of the director. I think John Wells, you know, he directed ER on television. And he should have reined in Meryl Streep. And he should have reined in, you know,
Julia Roberts.
And he should have reined in, you know, Juliet Nicholson. He should have... But I think everybody's allowed to just, you know, take their piece and, like, scream the life out of it. And I think it works wonderfully, you know, during that one dinner table scene, you know, they're all seated around for dinner and, you know, things go from bad to worse to even worse. But you can't sustain a whole movie like that.
Right.
You know, so I think they should have used
the first act.
Yeah.
And that to me would have been the, you know, the peak or rather the low point in the whole dramatic arc. I mean, that should have occurred, you know, just prior to beginning of Act 3. But you know, here it was. We had nowhere to go from there.
Right. Right. I mean, there's a lot of great themes, you know, throughout the movie, but you're just distracted by everything going on around it. But there's some really great themes, you know, how angry we feel at our parents for the things they do, sibling rivalries, mothers and daughters, parenting. I mean, everything is in here. Every single, like I said at the beginning, every story is in this 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's just too much. And I think, unfortunately, of course, Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep are the ones getting all of the hype around the acting. But I think the performances that really stood out to me were Benedict Cumberbatch, Juliette Lewis, and Ewan McGregor. Those three performances were really subtle and restrained, and I really enjoyed them.
They were the only ones who were not screaming.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch actually jumped out in my mind as having one of the best moments in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually think that all three of the three Julies, so Julia Roberts, Juliet Nicholson, and Juliet Lewis, who played the three daughters, I think they were really good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know families like that. I know families where there is one person who always talks a lot, and there is one person who is very quiet and quietly does a lot of the job, and then there's one person who just goes off and does their own thing. And, you know, people have this expectation that this person will always take care of the family. This person is unreliable. You know, this person is off. And, you know, people kind of settle into their roles. And I think those three actors really played that very well. I think I just wish it had been dialed down a little bit.
Yeah.
I actually think I think there's a reason why Julia Roberts is getting a lot of press for this, because I think, you know, she gives a pretty ghastly performance. I mean, it's a ghastly character.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think the story is hers in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the movie. I haven't seen the stage play, but, and I think for her to kind of get to this place in her career where she's willing to, you know, have this shrill a character to embrace. I mean, this is a very shrill, very unhappy character who is not realizing that she's turning into her mother slowly. Maybe that was my take on the movie, but, you know, she has this vein popping out on her forehead through the entire movie,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, she's trying to control her mother just like her mother is trying to control all of them. And, you know, I think that I kind of commend her for taking on, you know, a not very sympathetic role. And I think she does fine by it.
Yeah, but I think that it's too much. You know, the trailers show the two scenes, which is, you know, Julia Roberts chasing her mother through a field and Julia Roberts attacking her mother, almost jumping on her. And I don't believe that would happen. And it, again, it's just too much, which kind of took me out of the moment. So,
I mean, and you know, I think Ewan McGregor was so, I mean, he's always very good. I always like him, but he's so good here in portraying a kind person who is still capable of, you know, being suddenly cruel. I mean, you know, that's a very, again, you know, not to give things away, but, you know, that's,
really,
I mean,
every performance.
Yeah. Everybody's good here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Okay, Joe, you go first then.
So, you know, I came away thinking that this was all a bit forced. This isn't a movie I'd tell you to stay away from. I mean, you know, if you enjoy seeing actors doing great acting, you know, it's kind of a little showreel for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's something they're all going to put on their resumes as, you know, what they're capable of doing. And they all get the opportunity to do that. It's just that's ultimately the problem. It's all too forced. It's all pressure cooked and mushy and ultimately dissatisfying as a movie, because you just can't buy that this stuff happened in the few days depicted. So, you know, it's hard for me to rate this one because as a movie lover, I did enjoy watching it, but overall, it fell a little flat. 6 out of 10.
Yes, Dee.
So popular opinion should say that I shouldn't like this film, that I should punish it for being the overcooked scream fest that it is, but I cannot bring myself to do that. Although I have no desire to watch this film anytime again soon, I also cannot lie and have to admit that I felt a deep sadness, you know, for so many of the characters in the last act of the film. I really felt sorry for them. I mean, the one character in this movie who represents goodness is dealt such a bad hand in the movie. They're so dark and unrelentingly bitter. I felt so much sympathy for them. And I've seen families being undone by people who just cannot be anything less than they are. And I kind of appreciated that the movie really got into that space. And so I think the movie gets its job done. It could have done by just toning things down a little bit, but I think it did its job very well, and so I give it 8 out of 10. I do admire this movie a lot.
Yeah, I think, like you, Joe, I think I'm finding it hard to rate this movie as well. I think this is a little tragic movie that's altogether too depressing and sad for my liking. You can't choose your family, but you can choose not to go and spend time with this family. I would only recommend this for one of those days when you've absolutely nothing else to do or watch. That said, it's not a total waste of time, Yazdi, like you're saying, and it's not a terrible movie. It just needed to demonstrate restraint, and then it could have been a magnificent movie. So I'm having a lot of trouble rating this one. I mean, like you said, it's a actor's showcase. For that, I would give it, you know, 9 out of 10. But in terms of everything in the kitchen sink and how soapy it was, I want to give it like 4 out of 10. So, unrateable.
Oh, come on. take an average.
6.
Where is the average of 6 and 9 or 6? Or 5 and 9? It's a weighted 6?
4 and 9, yeah. Yeah, it would be like 6.5, so 6. I dialed it back numbers, like the film should have.
Numbers fail us in describing
I mean, it's an undescribable movie. It's got so much acting heft. It's got such a great cast. It's got great themes, but it's just too much.
This director also made a movie that we saw a couple of years ago, The Company Man.
Yes.
Do you remember that movie?
Yes, with Chris Cooper too.
And I remember feeling that movie was kind of overcooked as well.
Yeah.
You know, it was trying to make this whole this message about corporations and again, I think the issue with that movie was a little too heavy-handed. It would have been a lot more effective had it told its message or given its message in a more subtle manner. Even though I enjoyed that movie, you know, somewhat, it was one where you just got to give it a little lighter touch. Just let us, as the audience, come to some of the conclusions instead of throwing them all out there.
Yeah, I mean, I want to watch the play because I
would like to see the play.
Yeah, I suspect that, you know, when the camera gets that close to every character, it becomes too much in a movie, but when you're watching it from afar, those fireworks are a lot more
easier
to handle. And
you almost need that presence and depth of character on stage to make it come alive.
Yeah, and there's also something about
all of the other bells and whistles going on.
But there's also something about theatre where time frames aren't as apparent, right? The passage of time isn't always as clear. And I think here, it felt like everything happened in a very short period of time where I think, you know, if you were in the final act of a play, you might have this sense that this stuff happened a little later on in time. I don't know. Because, again, a couple of the twists that they threw at us, I was like, you know, this, then this, then this, then this. Wow, what a hell of a couple of days that was for those people. You know, all the chickens came to roost.
Yeah.
Like, all of them at that point.
I mean, when that last one happens, I'm like, really? I feel like I'm watching General Hospital.
No,
you know, really, I was like, oh my goodness, no.
I think the other thing is, I suspect, I don't know for whatever reason, maybe it's the way the Weinsteins are selling this movie, but the movie insists on it being about Meryl Streep.
Yes.
And I think that's probably a bit of a miscalculation because her character is so, you know, so mean.
Yeah.
Overcooked.
So mean. I mean, God knows. I mean, she gives pitch perfect line readings. I mean, you know, you give Meryl Streep a character like that, and she's going to gnaw that bone into fine powder. I mean, she really does. I mean, but I think if they instead concentrated on it being about Julia Roberts or about the daughters or whatever and taken a different vantage point, it might have been a little less oppressive.
Yeah, they were definitely more interesting. So, yeah, flawed, but okay.
I liked it.
Yeah. Good. All right, mail@moviewallers.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, facebook.com/moviewallers as well. Let us know what you think. I guess until our next episode, it's going to be too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.